Good morning, Real Life Christian Church. How are you this morning? The upcoming.
Good morning, Real Life Christian Church. Operation Christmas year, and it's never too soon to start collecting. You can make a huge difference in the life of a kid just by collecting things now. You can do school. Check out this amazing website. It's called wowsupplies.com. We plan to finish this project in September, so start collecting now. Supplies are going to sell out fast, so start collecting now. And if you have any questions at all, contact Jenny King. Thank you.
Ladies, we are set with Girls Time Out. On June the 29th, we will meet at Monsters Mini Golf in Kennesaw at 12 p.m. Monsters Golf is an unique, affordable, and it is Blacklight family fun. We will then go to the Pacific Buffet after we play at Monster 99 for your mini golf adventure, and then money to eat at the buffet afterward. Wear clothing or materials that are white and the Blacklight. There's no need to sign up, but if you would like to talk to someone on the GTO committee, you could talk to Leslie, Brandy Kelly, Teresa Meehan, Kathy Miller.
Anything with Wheels, Car, Truck, and Bike Show, hosted by our newest found ministry, Freedom Connection. Please come on out and join us and volunteer on June 20th. Free to the public and a $10 donation for participants. Let the community know we are a community-driven church and that we are here to help them break free from the chains that are holding them. Or after church in the vestibule, we'd love to have you participate.
Instrumentation this morning. So thank you all for singing out. We're just going to go ahead and press through the thing, but we're here to praise the Lord. So we just want you just to join in and sing your little heart out. And right now we're just going to go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly, we can come and lift our voices together as a congregation, Lord. We just praise you, Lord, and we just thank you for all the amazing things that you do for us. we know we have in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. That's empty praise and treasures that fade. Then you came along and put me back together. I'm not afraid. Show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still, 'cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. Place your mercy and grace, won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing that you look at, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can.
There's nothing worth more. Come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of loves where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are well. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts overcome by your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth most, nothing can compare. You're our living hope, Lord. I've tasted and seen loves where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. This place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts overcome by your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your just experience, the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your experience, the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your experience, the glory of your goodness. Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. God is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
So I saw a post this week that Georgia summers are a good reminder that hell is hot and eternity's a long. But I do remember when I was very young, and summer was the time to look forward to because it meant carefree days to play and stay up late. There was no pool in the lake and family vacations. Now that I'm far from young, it seems like summer is just a hotter time of year when to-do lists keep growing. There are household chores, needed repairs, bills to pay, emails to respond to, books we want to read, family members we want to spend time with. There are news stories that can discourage, confuse, and divide us. Ads and promotions seek to convince us that our lives are most of these things by themselves are not too overwhelming, but together they add up and can make us feel exhausted. can begin to feel like a burden as well. I want to read my Bible more, pray more, and invest in others more, but I find myself running out of time, and my mind tends to jump to the next thing on my agenda. Instead of resting in Christ and relying on Scripture and prayer, I become distracted and burdens to carry. The Bible has many verses to encourage us when we face these types of trials in life. In John 16:33, Jesus tells that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. 1 Peter 5 says him because he cares for you. In Matthew 11:28-29, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When we come to the communion down meal, where we are served rather than serving, though we often approach food and meals with a fast food mentality of getting and eating our food quickly so we can move, provides an opportunity for us to take a seat with others, pause, and take notice of what's set before us. When we set our minds on Jesus and his brother, our souls are restored by what we have in Christ. Though our sins are many, and we might walk in here feeling beat up and exhausted, a full cleansing through his death and resurrection. Our salvation is based on Jesus alone, not how good or how bad we were this week, because we are forgiven and free. There is rest in Jesus through whatever valley, trial, worry, or fear we face today. The most precious gift ever given. If God saved us and made us his children through Jesus, if he defeated evil and our sin problem, carry us through what we're facing today. Despite our burdens and trials, there is rest in Jesus because we are loved and cared for us. It's not a message about our ability to solve our problems, but God's ability and willingness to solve them. The gospel frees us from carrying the walk on our shoulders because God is taking care of us, providing for us, and at work on our behalf. Rest in him today. Let's pray. With your peace and Holy Spirit, forgive us where we have failed and help us to be still before you and to rest in Jesus as our Savior once and for all. Different ways that you can make contributions, and you can make contributions with your monetary giving and also with your time. Let us pray now for that offering. Dear Lord, we just thank you that we are so blessed. We thank you for that you provide for us every day. We pray, Lord, that we will give back generously and that we will use the gifts that we in a way that is pleasing to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. going to continue this series, If Then. And if you were here last week, you knew we talked about the idea that this is found in a lot of math and science, and the if this, then this happens. And for those of you in the room who are currently parents, or maybe you remember being parents, you know that between love and obedience, we love that word obedience, don't we? Especially when it comes to our kids and their lack of. And I think we can all admit, how many in here like to be told what to do? Nope, not a single person. We don't like to be told what to do. And it's difficult to teach how to obey, and it's difficult process to watch play out in the lives of others around us. It's not something, we're not a hardwired trait. Some people will say, well, I'm a rule follower. Until that rule is something you don't know, right? We don't enjoy obedience. We really don't. And to highlight this, I have a story for you that will, once upon a time, there was a young couple named John and Sarah, and they decided to get a little puppy. These cute little adorable puppies. You know, Leslie watches these videos. I say, don't you remember? But they got this little puppy and they named it Max. And they were so, and they were determined to raise him to be the perfect companion. Right. Training Max turned, he was full of energy. He always seemed to be getting into trouble. He chewed on the furniture, jumped on their guest. And despite their best efforts, John and Sarah were struggling to get him to behave. Now, at this point, I'd say it's time to give the dog away. They instead started researching different training techniques. And they tried everything from positive reinforcement. They tried everything they could think of, but nothing worked. Max just wouldn't listen. He would often ignore commands and do the opposite. And John and Sarah became frustrated and overwhelmed. They started to wonder if they'd made a mistake. And they were determined to keep trying. So they decided to hire a professional dog trainer. And hoping that someone with more experience, and that's how they came up with the movie Nanny McPhee, if you ever watched it. They needed a professional. And the trainer worked with Max for several weeks, but he still struggled with obedience. And finally, after months of hard work, Max began to show some improvement. He would stop, and then he would sit and stay on command. And John and Sarah were overjoyed with their progress, and training the puppy to be obedient was much harder. But they never gave up. Identify with the people in the story. It's called the training. If you've ever had a kid and went through potty training, you know exactly. And when they finally go to the bathroom by themselves, you're like, yes! Well, maybe. We know how it feels to come to the end of our own resources and have to reach out for help. Right, if something's broke, Jerry calls Dad. But we know how rewarding it is, though, when it, as we're about to see in our passage, and we're going to get our passage from John 14 today, there are several parallel lessons to be learned as we follow Christ and love of the Father for his children. Love is a funny thing, isn't it? Isn't love funny? Unless you're mad at each other. Multifaceted concept that can mean different things to different people. I mean, everybody loves tacos, right? I just love them. There's always somebody going, nope, I don't like tacos. And it can be challenging to define in a single sentence or statement what true love is. However, at its core, attachment and care towards someone or something. John and Sarah loved their puppy. They wanted to give him the rules to follow. Now we can assume that Max the puppy also loved his parents and he didn't like seeing them upset. I don't know about you, but it hurt too much. You know, it hurt my feelings to see her upset. It also hurt my fanny, but you know, it hurt. To see God upset, do we? I know I don't want to see it. We know that God loves us. He loves his kids. And he wants plans to follow and principles to live by, not because he wants to stop us from having fun, because he wants what's best for us. Did you set rules for your children? Did you set rules and boundaries for your children? Because you know what's best for them. And God did the same for us. And his one and only Son, and through him we find eternal life. Our passage begins today with one of the most difficult verses in the New Testament, and it's John 14:15. Keep my commands. That's difficult. Not because it's hard to understand, but because it's hard to do. Love. In this one verse, Jesus reiterates that loving him equates to listening to him. You know, then you'll listen and obey. You'll follow the path. You'll come on the road. Even when it gets difficult, even when you feel lost, you'll continue to go down the road. You'll go where I need you to go at different times. I know when life has thrown me some real curveballs, I found myself wandering around in a faith cry. God, if you really love me, why am I going through this? Why does this hurt so bad? Life has a way of challenging our faith. We struggle when we're struggling in our everyday life. We don't struggle with our faith when everything is good. We struggle when it's hard. And not following the Lord's plan, but trying to make my wishes the Lord's will for my life. Have you ever done that? This is my will. And it made me miserable. Made everybody around me miserable too. No, he liked it. But here it is. I'm struggling. And I can't figure out why I'm struggling. Life. However, when I surrendered to God's way over to him, when I went to his way, influencing me with their misguidance. You see, here's what I have found. When we're in a faith crisis, we often, when we're wandering around lost in our faith trying to figure it out, we never look the right way. We go to people who drag you further away from God. In fact, the Proverbs, it rings true every time. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. You're hanging out with matters. Because we all want those little pats on the back that it's okay that I'm doing this. It's okay that I feel this way. You should that we seek out. Just say yes, that's what I want. I want somebody to pet me like a puppy and say, good boy, good boy. Yeah, I'm doing that, it's okay. I know God said not to, but it's good for you. That's the kind of stuff we want, but it's not right. Doing is wrong, even if it hurts your feelings. Salto hurts my feelings all the time. You know, and that's what you do. You just, because, well, it's right. Now, when somebody hurts your feelings because you're doing something wrong, it's not one of those, in fact, it hurts. Loving Jesus is not just about having warm feelings towards him. But it's about obeying his teachings and living in accordance to his will. Do this through the good times and the bad. We obey Jesus whether it's good or bad in your life right now. And maybe that's why loving Jesus can, we have to be real honest. We call this place Real Life Christian Church. And we're going to talk about real life things. And real life is this. Sometimes life stinks. Life is really hard. Sometimes things just don't go your way. But if you love Jesus through it, that better than you were. You will learn lessons as you go through that are irreplaceable in life. There'll be days where you just don't want to obey. Do you know that? Sometimes you just don't want to be obedient. We don't want to stay on the path. We want to entertain other desires and interests. Let me let you in on a little secret, and I've said it 1,000 times in the last 7 years. You like sin. Just a fact. I like sin. Otherwise, we wouldn't struggle with it. You wouldn't want it if it was bad, man. But it does feel bad with the guilt that comes later, doesn't it? But at that moment, you crave it. Your flesh craves it. If we really love Him, then we'll listen to Him. But what about the difficulty? What about the fact that my flesh with the self-giving love of Christ? What about that part of me that doesn't line up with that and I have to fight these desires? Well, the amazing thing is, well, and it's found in those same passages, starting in John 14, 16, and 17. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another and be with you forever." Verse 17 says, "The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. Be in you." This is an important part of your faith, and one we forget about often. Jesus promises you. He told His disciples that He was coming to help and to guide them, and He calls it the Spirit of truth. So the truth, it is. Sometimes the truth hurts, though, doesn't it? When somebody points out something, especially if it's a flaw. I mean, I'm almost perfect. And it hurts. It hurts at first, but she's right. But you see, the Holy Spirit convicts us of those things. The Spirit empowers us to love and obey Jesus and gives us strength and wisdom. We need to follow the teachings that Jesus has given us. The Spirit helps us to do truth and falsehood. And through the Spirit, we can experience a deeper intimacy with Jesus and a greater ability to live out His commands. Do you understand that? How amazing it is that God gives us the Spirit to live within us. Forget about the Holy Spirit, and we hurry through our lives from one problem to another. But think about this. The Spirit is still there. And there are several Bible verses that talk about the Holy Spirit living in us. And here's a few to talk about. Romans 8:9 says, "You but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong." You can't go to heaven without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. And it's gonna come upon you. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not, therefore, honor God with your bodies." Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It lives in you. So what you do with your body, and then there's two more verses I want to point out. In Galatians 4:6, because you're into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. And then Paul in Ephesians writes, "And in Him, you two are being built together by His Spirit." You see, these verses emphasize the idea that the Holy Spirit dwells within believers. And that Spirit empowers us to live a life that honors Him. God is represented by you and me. way that we live our life. I'm not trying to put any extra pressure on you. But the truth is, how we live matters. What we proclaim to believe in. Look what it says in John 14, 18 through 21. He says, I will not leave for long. The world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love this. The Father loves those who love and obey the Son. He loves those who obey. He promises that he will not leave his disciples as orphans, but will come to them, and they're part of a larger family. You are a part of a much bigger family, bigger. You're a part of Christ, loved by Christ and through Christ. What an amazing thing to think about. We're not alone. Even when you feel lonely, you're not alone. God will never leave nor forsake you. He's always with us, and this truth is foundational and a fundamental reality that we live in as Christians of my Savior. So if you have Jesus, then you're never alone. For our love for him. Remember, we can love him. Why? Because he first loved us. It's because of this love that we can experience. As we experience and receive Jesus' love, we're empowered to love him in return. The Spirit gives us the power to return that love. Isn't that the ultimate commission? Isn't that the call on our life? To love others as we've been loved and to invite everyone we can. Isn't that what we're called to be? The greatest commandment is to love God. And the next one is to love people, neighbor. Even if you don't like them, you gotta love them. It's a good thing because some of you don't like me. But I know you love me. What an incredible thing we have to share. And to sum it all up, because I know some of you are already thinking about lunch, I can see it. Their love for Jesus, and there is therefore loved by the Father. The Father loves those who love and obey his Son. But loving Jesus is not, it is demonstrated through our obedience to his commands. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, in love for us. His commands matter. We've been given advocate and a helper to assist us when things get hard. And just like John and Sarah had to hire a professional dog trainer to help, we need help too. And that's the great gift of the church. Do you know what a gift it is that God created the church to help each other? Isn't that what we're doing? When you get and you need each other through those difficult times to help you through this world. And here's what I know. Nobody you need help. Nobody can just read your mind if they don't know you need help. For you to get involved in the fellowship things that we do in church so that you know each other. All these opportunities that come up for you to gather. Who doesn't want to eat and eat food together and get to know one another so that when times get difficult, Christians, when they gather together and one is in trouble, to help, to reach out. I've seen people sitting and hurting. I've seen people get up from one seat. That person may help. I believe that. And I believe that our obedience leads to breakthrough. And God knew we'd need help. He knew we'd need each other, and he knew we'd need Jesus. So in this coming week, may we all seek to love Jesus more deeply in life. And as we do, we'll experience the joy and peace that come from a loving relationship with Him. Because if you love Jesus, then you will obey and listen to His commands. It's never cut and dry, is it? It's simply not your will. We're bad for that. Not your will. I say, Lord, forgive me where I didn't do better today. Does that sound familiar? Today, that for me to live out my faith, it means for me to choose Jesus' way over my way, myself, and carrying the cross.
Our God, and all will see how.
Hey, I want to thank everybody for coming out and worshiping with us. You know, it's truly a pleasure for me to get up here every. I would tell you we're all good looking, but you know. But the truth is, it's wonderful to have a great place to come and worship. It really is. And I'm going to brag on somebody. So today, Kenny's on vacation, and he had Mason scheduled to fill in, and Mason's sick. So we were scrambling, trying to figure out. And Caden stepped up during practice, and I heard him, you know. He said, just, and I mean, look at it. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. And I'm going to brag on the rest of them too, right? Didn't they do great? So one thing I want to talk about first is if you're going to meet with Santo for the car show coming up, are you going to meet right here or are you going to meet over there? 102 over here, right after church, if you want to see him. Also, we have stickers, decals for your car. If you want to go out there and look at those, now we are charging for them because they're expensive. I think I had one in my Bible. You can tell everybody that you go to Real Life Christian Church. It's got our logo on it. It's simple. But we want people to see your car and go, hey, where's that place at? As long as you're driving like you got. If you can't drive, don't get one. If you can't drive, go down to the Baptist Church and get one of theirs. So, but really, go get you one and put it on your car. Let everybody know where you go to church, because here at Real Life Christian Church, we got real people living out a real faith together. Again, over and over again, I do believe that we are the best church in town. Not the only church, but they'll never find a church where people love people like this one. I'm going to let Roxanne dismiss us. I'll be up here for a few minutes if you need us. Hey, let's go be the church.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're just coming here and worshiping you, Lord. We just ask that you be with us as we go out, and we are your hands and your feet this week in the community that we live in. This is amazing grace.